Okay, boys, today's daf is daf Yud Dalid. We're holding the Mishnah on the bottom of Yud Gimel Amid Beis. The Mishnah begins, Eilu Dvorim Asurim Lim Kurli Oyvid Kechavim. The following items you're not allowed to sell to an idolater. We're no longer talking about Dafka the Yoim Id, the day of the holiday. We're talking about throughout the year. And the reason is because the following items that we're going to identify and enumerate in the Mishnah are things which were miyuchad, typically used by the idolaters for purposes of worshipping and enhancing the idol worship of their idols. And we'll explain the definition of each one of these in the Gemara Mi'at Hashem. So, Eilu Dvarim Asurim Lim Kol Oyved Kechavim, the following you're not allowed to go and sell to a person who's Oyved Avodah Zarah. An Istrabulin, Benoy Shuach, Upetutrois, Ulavoina, Vetarnagol Halovan. If you look at the number of items here, it sounds like there are five altogether. It's Trebulin and Bnei Shuach, Petutrois, Lavoina, and Tarnagol Elovin. However, we'll see much of the Gemara really that there are only four items, because the first two, the Trebulin and the Bnei Shuach, are different types of Peirois, which we'll discuss in the Gemara. And Petutrois means that they are still attached to their stems. So Petutrois is just a modifier explaining the Itzrabulin and Bnei Shuach, but this is not a separate species on its own. Rabbi Huda only argues on the Tarnagol Halovan, and he says, Mutalimka loy Tarnagol Lovan bein hatarnagoylim. To go and sell a Tarnagol Lovan on its own, in other words, a person comes and says, I dafka want a white rooster, that's a giveaway that he's doing it for Avodah Zarah. However, if he's willing to go and take others together with the white tarnagol, then that's okay, because he's not looking for Avodah Zarah, he's just looking for a bunch of tarnagolim, presumably for a feast, and therefore it doesn't make a difference whether it's a white tarnagol, a black tarnagol, a red tarnagol. We'll talk about this at greater length in the Gemara. So Buddha says, Mutalim kolay tarnagol lovin bin atarnagolim. The Tanakama, however, who disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda, holds that you're not allowed to sell a Tarnagol Lovan even among other Tarnagolim. And we'll see again the Machloikis in the Gemara. However, says Rabbi Yehuda, Ubizman Shehubifnei Atzmoi Koitea Es Etzboi Umoi Choloi Lefishin Makriven Choser Lavoides Kechov. As we've had in the Gemara already before, we, Klal Yisrael, are very makbid that all of our karbonos should not have any mum whatsoever, even if there's a slit in the svasayim, in the lips, or in the eyelids of a karbon. However, in the case of non-Jews, they don't have such a hakpada, but the ikar is, it should not be mechusar aver. And therefore, what you can do is, you don't have to go and rip off the entire wing or of the tarnagol. What you can do is just snip off a little bit of an etzba, koteas etzboi. That's already sufficient to be considered a mechusar eiver for these purposes. And then the goyim will not be able to use them for hakrova for their idols. So therefore, that's another etza of selling a tarnagol lovan. Spoil the tarnagol lovan that it should not be fit to be brought for takreis.
Isn't there a problem of
Tzavah? We had that already discussion briefly in the Gemara before, if you recall. But that was with respect to a big aver. We talked about the ikur of the animal. Apparently just shaving off a little bit of the atzva doesn't cause any Tzavah Balachayim that we need to be concerned about. And then he could sell it, Fisha Machriven, Chosavayizukham. Vishar Kaladvarim, and anything else other than what we've just enumerated, stamman mutter upirushan osir. If you sell it stam, it's okay. If you're mafarish, it's osir. What does that mean? Be gemara mafarish. We'll see a match of the gemara shortly. Remeir oimer avdekel tav v'chatzav v'niklas. These three things, dekel tav, v'chatzav v'niklas. What are these things? Again, be gemara mafarish. Also limkalev d'chom yinale to go and sell to the idolaters. Again, all of the items in our Mishnah all have to do with Takrovis Avodah Zarah. If you look at just one short Rashi at the beginning of the Mishnah, it's Trebulim Bnei Shuach Mefarish B'Gemara, Osa Limkar, Tzilet Tzoyrech Avodah Zkechovim Kaboyla. These items the idolaters need to serve and to sacrifice to their idols. Therefore, Osir Limkar. Zok Yimara. We started off, the first item in the Mishnah was Itzrabulin. Vos heist ma Itzrabulin. What does Itzrabulin mean? Says the Gemara, it means Tornisa. Rashi explains Tornisa is one of the Eris trees. As you remember, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that there are 10 different species of Erez, of cedar trees. One is called the Shita tree. And the Gemara says in Aramaic that Shita means Tornisa. Now, when we learned this back in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, we learned that Tornisa is in fact a pine tree. However, as we'll see in the Gemara shortly, that's not going to be a simple pshat, and Tosis therefore is going to disagree vehemently with Rashi. But let's first see the Gemara, and then we'll get back to it. But in the meantime, according to Rashi, Tornisa would seem to be a pine tree. Frank Tamara, Urmino, is that in fact the case? Hoisifu Alein. Here we're talking about Hilchos Shemitah, and we're saying about Hilchos Shemitah that initially they only said that certain trees and certain growths were Osir B'Shemitah. Others, they initially said, were not Osir B'Shemitah. And later on, Hoisif Olein, they added. Why did they add them? The presumption is because these are inferior items, and that therefore people don't really care for them. They grow wildly, and therefore it doesn't have a din of Shemitah about selling because of the fact that there is really no market for it. However, in later days, later times, they decided to add these as well. This could be that there was greater poverty and people were eating even things of lesser value. But bottom line is they were moisef. What were they? Moisef, alachsin, itzrabulin, oh, that's our itzrabulin, muchsosin, and ubnoi shuach. These four different minim. Tornisa, you're telling me the definition of itzrabulin, tornisa, tornisa mi isa b'shvias. There's no din of Shemitah by Tornisa. How do I know? V'atanya, shteitach in the Braisa. Ze haklal, kol sheyesh lo ikar, yesh lo shvias. Kol sheein lo ikar, ein lo shvias. To have a din of Shemitah, you have to have roots in the ground. If there are roots, there's a din of Shemitah. No roots, ain't din of Shemitah. So therefore, says the Gemara, what's the story with a pine tree? A pine tree certainly has a roots in the ground. So how are you telling me that subsequently Hoisifa Lein Alachin Itzrabulin etc. If you're going to go and tell me you're talking about pine trees Miisa B'Shmita are they in Shmita? Zeklal Koshe Yesh Leikar Yesh Leishvias VeKoshe Leikar Ein Leishvias. So the Gemara is assuming that Tornisa does not have roots in the ground. If it does not have roots in the ground, then how could they add that to the list of the trees in Shemitah which are prohibited? It doesn't have roots. Now I ask you, is there any such thing in the world of a tree that doesn't have roots? By definition, every tree has roots. So therefore, that's why Tosis at the top disagrees with the Rashi. You see the top Tosis, Pirsha Kuntris, Tonisis Min Erez, brings them on Rosh Hashanah. The Kasha, second line, Tibesamach Porach, Meahi, V'chol She'en Li Iker, Upirisha kuntris she'en lo ikar tiskai miskayim ba'aretz v'moisek shomim v'tornisa erezu. If tornisa means a tree, ha'yesh lo ikar miskayim avade, it has roots throughout the year. Did you ever hear of a tree that doesn't have roots? Void kasha from another gemara, and therefore Tosis concludes the kach pirisha benatam. That's, you see where it says in the parentheses the common yud tes. Two lines further, the kach pirisha benatam, the trei gavli tornisa ninu, vahi dehocha hu min adoma ki en kavrisa pirish gofris she'en lo ikar shoyrish bekarka lebi moisacham le moisak sham. Bottom line is, Tosis disagrees with Rashi and says that tornisa over here does not mean the same as tornisa in Mesechtes Rosh Hashanah, one of the cedar trees, one of the Erez trees. Rather, tornisa over here means sulfur. Sulfur grows on the ground. Sulfur apparently grows from the ground, but it does not have any roots into the ground. You're familiar, of course, with mining of sulfur from the ground. They go and lift it, and they excavate it, and they sell it, and all that wonderful stuff, but it does not have ikrim, it does not have any roots in the ground. Ah, so that being the case, Zot Toisvis. It's Shabulim that we said at the top of the Yomit is not a pine tree, but rather it was sulfur. So Frekting Moriets, how are you telling me that sulfur was used as a sacrifice for the Avodah Zarah, and that's the definition of Itzterbulin? But didn't we say that Itzterbulin, they added that to the list of the Shemitah produce, which is Aser? And if you're going to tell me Itzterbulin is sulfur, sulfur doesn't have any roots, like the Mishnah says, the Brisa says of a klal, kol sheyesh le'ikar yesh le'shvias, ein le'ikar ein le'shvias. So therefore, that's why Tosis says, we see from our Gemara, we're not talking about trees, we're talking about sulfur. And we are rejecting this pshat that Istrabulin means sulfur, because if Istrabulin means sulfur, how could we say that we added Istrabulin to the list of Shemitah produce, which is Aser? It doesn't have roots. And therefore, says Gemara, you're right. Istrabulin neither means Tonisa pine trees, nor does it mean sulfur. El Omer of Safra, Peiri the Arza. The Tonisa, the Istrabulin that we're talking about is not Tonisa, like we learned until now, but rather it's talking about fruits from an Erez tree. Not all Erez tree have fruits, but this one does. It's Peiri the Arza. Now, what does Peir di Arza mean? Says Rashi in the fourth line, galant. What does galant mean? So if you look up the art scroll has two pshatim. Pshat number one is acorns. Pshat number two is pine cones. Acorns or pine cones. Those are the things which are not allowed to go and sell to the idolaters. What's the reason why? Because they use that for a sacrifice for their idols. So this has been sort of a back and forth with the Rashi, the Tosis, the Havamin, and the Maskana. But bottom line is, now when you learn the Mishnah and you see that you're now let us sell Itzterbulin means either acorns or pine cones, you're now let us sell that to idolaters, because they use it not for food, but they use it for their Avodah Zarah. And the second one we had in the Mishnah was B'nai Shuach. What a b'nai shuach, Amr Rabba B'chon, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, te'eni chivrza. These are white figs. Now, whether white figs are superior figs or inferior figs, that's a discussion in the second Tosis, where he says that from our Gemara's mashma that this was peri geruahu. How do I know that it's inferior? Because remember, on the list at the top of the Amid, when we said hoisifu alein, they added the itzterbulin, and they also added the b'nai shuach. Why it wasn't B'nai Shuach on the list initially? Because people were not machshevit for produce. It was basically hefker. People just left it on the trees or in the fields. And therefore, they didn't even talk about Shemitah. In later years, apparently, people started eating them, and then they added it to the Shemitah list. Just like years ago, people didn't go and eat various types of grass. And now, the fancier the chasana, the more grass you get for your hors d'oeuvres, for your first course at the chasana. Anyway, bottom line is, that's the white chibris of the white te'enim. Tosis subsequently says that it's not mashma like that from a gemara that we had in Masechta Shavuos, where the gemara said that if you have moist rice, you had extra kabanis left over, you use it kais lemizbeach, just like kibanoi shuach, that people eat bikinuach seuda, just like people eat it for dessert, this benoi shuach, they also use it for the mizbeach, lahavdil, for for dessert. When the mizbeach is empty, you go and serve the mizbeach these additional korbanos like b'nai shuach, which is for dessert. Is the chmash of the b'nai shuach is a good thing, not a bad thing? And then Tosis brings from a medrash rabba that the te'enim that Odom Rishon ate te'enim. Remember, that's a three-way machloikis, Maseches Brachos, Maseches Sanhedrin. What was the Eitz Hadas? One view was that it was te'enim. And the reason why they think it's Te'ena, because afterwards the Kadosh Baruch Hu made them clothes from the Ale Te'enim. It's the Chasimin that with what they sinned, the Kadosh Baruch Hu did like a Mida Keneged Mida, that they clothed them. So it sounds like Te'enim is Yorub, says Dover Choshev. So you'll look in the Tosis. Tosis discusses this at some length. What B'nai Shuach are they Choshev? They're not Choshev. But getting back to our Gemara, bottom line is, we now know the pshat of the first two items in the Mishnah. It's acorns and or pine cones, and now white figs. What means a petutrice? So as we said in the Mishnah, Petutres sounds like that's number three. Amar Rabbi Bchanan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, no. Petutres is just modifying, it's explaining the first two. And it's explaining that the acorns or pine cones, together with the white figs, are Petutroisein Shanu. They're still attached to their stems. If you look at the Rashi, the first narrow line, Petutroisein Shanu, Petutrois Masis Alav Min Hubapi Nafshi. This is not a separate min. El Hachi Ka'amar, a Moichon Lehen Kol Eilu. Which ones? The Itztribul and Ebnei Shuach, the Uktzeyen. Ukits, of course, we are familiar with, for instance, from the Uktzey Te'enim of Ben Zakkai, right? And also you have Uktzin when you're talking about an Esrig has an Ukits and a Pitam on top, Ukits on the bottom. Anyway, says Rashi, why the fish should toil an Oysan, I'm sorry? That's true. How many people here have learned Mesechta Sotzin? Good. So the familiarity of the Oilam here that is learning it is that is people are familiar with the term Uktzin mainly from the Uktzin Te'enim of Ben Zakkai and or the Uktzin of the Esroigim. But you are right. There is an entire Mesechta in Taharis called Mesechta Uktzin. So continuing the Rashi, if we should toil an oisan b'fnei avodis kechovim, the darkon li oivdan bekach. Ah, so they used to go and hang up in the churches next to the idols, on top of the idols, in front of the idols. They would hang up from the stem these two different minim, the acorns or pine cones, together with the white te'enim, the white figs, and they hung them up with their stems. Ichvai, something like a wreath, probably. And it made it look very pretty and ornamental and fine and good. Therefore, don't sell it to them with their stems, because that's what the goyim are going to use for their avoida of the avoida zar. And the next one in the Mishnah was the levoina. Levoina, of course, is incense. Omer Yitzchak, Omer Bishmon Lakish, levoina zaka. We're talking specifically about levoina zaka. Rashi says that's min levoinahi. Levoina zaka in this connection doesn't mean incense that they have gone and refined and pounded and crushed many different times, and therefore it's really a zach, it is really a nice and pure. No. That's the name of the levoina.
That's levoina zaka, not zaka.
Have you ever heard of the term shemen zayah zoch?
Of course.
Okay, what does zoch mean?
It means it's pressed, it's pure.
Good. So now go and take the female form of zach. What do you get?
Zach.
So please, don't think levoina zaka meaning that it's pressed and it's pured and refined. That's not what it means. I realize that there is another reference to Levoina Daka. But now we're referring to Levoina Zacha. Don't think that Zacha is like Daka or like Shemen Zayizach, purified and refined and nice and good. No, what we mean to say is it's a name of a particular Levoina. You go into the Levoina store and you say, I want Levoina, and they'll ask you, which species do you want? I want Levoina Zacha. Oh, I know why you're taking Levoina Zacha. Because you're taking it for Avodah Zarah. Forget about it. I'm not going to go and sell Levoina Zacha to an idolater because he's going to use it for Avodah Zarah. We haven't gotten to Tanagul Halovin yet, but the Brisa now, the Gemara brings a Brisa, Tonam Mikulon Moichon Lehen Chavila. All of these three items that we've spoken about so far, the Itztribulin, and the Bnei Shuach, and Levoina Zacha, you know when you're not allowed to sell it if you're selling it in small quantities. But if you're selling a whole bundle of it, that's okay. Because they never bought large bundles of these items for their avodah zarah. Presumably these are things that have a limited shelf life, and therefore you wouldn't go and buy a ton of it for this holiday and that holiday and bringing it in to the avodah zarah for mass on Sundays or whatever, because it's going to spoil, it's going to go bad. So if he's buying a whole chavila, that means he's using it not just for avodah zarah purposes, or not using it, period, for avodah zarah purposes, using it for his own private purposes. He has a perfumery and he wants to buy levoina zacha because that incense will make it smell that much better. Maybe this person likes to eat acorns, or maybe he sells, gives acorns to his animals to eat, or whatever. It doesn't make a difference, but if you buy a chavila, then it's, if you're selling chavila, he's buying a chavila, then it's mutter. The obvious question is, Raboisai, the kama chavila, what is the amount that we're talking about? What's the quantity? Peter Shab Yehuda ben Beseira, ein chavila p'chusa mishloisha monin. The minimum size of chavila is 3 monin. Rashi says, This word mana is similar to the mana that we talk about in connection with money. Mana, money. Why? Because we're talking about a weight. Right? Every time, years ago, the value of coins was not so much because of the minting on the coin, but because of the weight of the coin. So the heavier the coin was, it means it was worth more money. So shloisha manim, one man, of course, is, as we said in the Gemara yesterday, that's 25 sloim. Each seller has in it 4 dinrim. So you're talking about a man is 100 dinrim worth. Well, that's a lot. And here we're talking about 3 manim, which is 300 dinrim. So that's quite a heavy bundle. Nobody would buy that type of quantity and that type of weight just for idle purposes. Yes, Shelly.
Yeah, so you mentioned acorns, but you have to understand that great oaks from little acorns grow.
Great oaks is from where acorns grow. Is that good or bad?
Well, it's a weighty matter.
A weighty matter. Okay, very good. Shkoyach. So, getting back to our Gemara, if it has the weight of the 3 manim, it becomes a weighty matter, and it is not usher to sell. Quite to the contrary, you're allowed to sell it, because it's not being purchased for avodah zarah purposes. Maybe this person, in fact, wants it for avodah zarah. It's true. For his own idols and his own local idol church, it's chavil is much too much. But maybe he's buying it from you on a wholesale basis because he has another 25 shamasim from the local churches, and he's going to sell each one of them 1/25th of this chavila, of this package. And that's why he's taking so much. Not because he himself needs it, but he's going to spread the wealth, so to speak, all of these acorns and these white figs, etc., to all the other churches in town. Everyone might buy. Alefnei mifkadinan. Alefnei delefnei loy mifkadinan. The whole reason you're not allowed to go and sell the items that we're talking about in our Mishnah, we had the Gemara before, because of the Isra Lefnei Iver Leisite Nechsha. If you're going to go and sell them anything that they can use in their worship of Avodah Zarah, then you are facilitating that worship. And we know that when it comes to Avodah Zarah, this is one of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noyach, and just like there's a din of Lefnei Iver, that you're not allowed to facilitate an Aveira by a fellow Jew, you're not allowed to facilitate an Aveira, which is one of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noyach, for a ben ayach, for a goy. And that being the case, if you're going to sell them any of the items in our Mishnah in small quantities that they're going to go and use in their own churches, then I got a problem because of assisting them in their avodah zarah. However, selling them large quantities, in all likelihood they're going to use it at home in their own kitchen. When they're putting together a fruit salad, they're going to go and cut up some white te'enim, some white figs. And if it's, like Toysi says, a peri gurua, they'll go and cook it in the kompot, and they'll use it that way. That's why they're buying such a large chavila. So you're saying, but maybe the reason why they're buying the chavila is because they're going to supply other churches in town. So that's already a lefnei de lefnei. He's not going to do it himself. I'm just koisha. Maybe he's going to give it to somebody else who's going to go and do it. So, lefnei lefnei, loi mifkadina. We've now gone through... Sorry?
It figures.
Okay, good. And now we go on to the final figure in our Mishnah that is in the first four. The Tarnigol Lavon and a white rooster. Again, white roosters, apparently that was the rooster of choice for the idol worship. Omer B'yoina, Omer B'zeira, Omer B'zvid, the Ikar Masti, Omer B'yoina, Omer B'zeira. Remember, Rabbi Yoina, we're going to refer to him in the Gemara a couple of times. What did Rabbi Yoina say? What happens if a person is walking in the meat market, or at least in the fowl market, and he's crying out, Tarnagolami! Tarnagolami! Who has a tarnagol for sale? Mutta limker loy tarnagolov. And then you're allowed to go and sell a white rooster. Why is that? Since he didn't specify what tarnagol he was looking for. Apparently, he would have been satisfied to go and take a white one, a red one, a brown one, a green one. It makes no difference. So then you're allowed to sell him a white one, because the white one was the only one that was typically used in the service of the avodah zarah. So since he didn't specify which one, he just said tarnagol, you can even sell him a white one. However, if he goes down the street, tarnagol, lomelami, who has a white tarnagol? Also, limka loy tanigoloven, you're not allowed to sell him a tanigoloven because it's readily apparent that he wants it for the avodah zarah.
And then he'll cry foul.
Beautiful. Freit dimore tanan, let's go back to our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda oimer, moicher hul tanigoloven. Remember we had a machlokes in our Mishnah, the Tanakama said, no tanigoloven, period. Rabbi Yehuda said, it depends. If it's tanigoloven on its own, you're not allowed to. But Bainar Tana Goylem, if you're selling him a package deal of 2, 3, 5 Tana Goylem, and one of them happens to be white, no problem. Say Chidama. So now, taking what Rabbi Yoina just said, that it depends on the buyer. Did he ask Tana Golemi? Or did he say Tana Golovin Lemi? Let's see how that works with Rabbi Yehuda Zalach. Hey Chidama. Ilay Metika Omer Tana Golovin Lemi. Tana Golovin Lemi. If the buyer was the one that was looking for, he's knocking on all the doors of the Tarnagol sellers, or he's crying out in the street, who has a Tarnagol lovin'? Who has a Tarnagol lovin'? According to your Rabbi Yoina, that you're holding that in such a case, Osir limka loy Tarnagol lovin', safila bein Tarnagolim nami loy, even if you're mixing in others with it, and you're selling him 2, 3, 4 Tarnagols, but you see that he was the Iker looking for a Tana Golovin, and that's why he said, Tana Golovin Lemi, Tana Golovin Lemi. How does that help that you are selling him as well, other Tana Golovin? According to Bioina, if a person says, Tana Golovin Lemi, also Limker Loi Tana Golovin. So even though you're throwing in a red one and a black one, Mazel Tov, but you see that he wants a Tana Golovin, that means he wants a Lechoyra Favoidazar. He didn't ask for a tarnagol lovin, he just said, I want a tarnagol. The filahochi, Rabbi Yehuda, beina tarnagolim in, bifnei atzmoi loy. You're telling, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that even though he said a tarnagol to me, our Mishnah says the only time Rabbi Yehuda permits selling a tarnagol lovin is only if he's selling it beina tarnagolim. But according to Rabbi Yoina, as long as he only asked for tarnagol to me, you're allowed to go and sell him a tarnagol lovan. So l'choyer Rabbi Yoina doesn't stim with Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah only permits the sale of a tarnagol lovan if it's part of a package of 2, 3, 4 tarnagolim, but not on its own. Nevertheless, what did Rabbi Yoina say? Rabbi Yoina says as long as he only asked for tarnagol to me, you can sell him even one single tarnagol lovin. It doesn't have to be part of a package. So l'chayra, that Rabbi Yoina doesn't shtim with Rabbi Yehuda. So nachma. And our Mishnah Rabbi Yehuda says you're only allowed to sell a tarnagol lovin if it's part of a package with other tarnagol. So hey chidami, if it's talking about that the person asks for specifically, I want a white tarnagol, what difference does it make that you give him also a red and a black one? The fact that he asked for a white one shows that he wants it for avodah zarah. Ella, Muslim Nachzogin, that the case of Yehuda is talking about that the buyer said, I just want a tarnagol. I want a tarnagol. So what did Rabbi Yoina say, I want a tarnagol? You could tell him a white tarnagol. So then why did Rabbi Yehuda say, Davka Beinat Targonim in, only if it's mixed with others, but Bifnei Atzmoi Loi? So Lechoyra, either way you learn, Rabbi Yoina does not stim with our Rabbi Yehuda of the Mishnah, as well as Ulatanakama, it certainly doesn't work, because Afila Beinat Targonim Nami Loi. The Tanakama is very, very exclusive or very decisive, and it says it makes absolutely no difference whether it's on its own or with other Tanagoylim. You're not allowed to sell a white rooster to an idolater. Even if you're selling it together with 5 other roosters, which are red, green, yellow, orange, it makes no difference. You're not allowed to sell. So Ibazoi, Rabbi Yoina is certainly not talking Aliba the Tanakama, because according to Tanakama, it makes it difficult if he says Tarnagol Lemi, Tarnagol Lovin Lemi, it's always awesome. So what's Pshat? Omer Nachma Yitzhak. Tochamay Skinik going to Omar. Zevzeh. Oh, a beautiful Pshat. It's talking about a situation that when he called out in the street, he didn't say Tarnagol Lemi. He didn't go and say Tarnagol Lovin Lemi, but rather he said, I would like to have white, red, and blue tarnagolim. Why white, red, and blue? Because those are patriotic colors, and I think it would be great to have white, red, and blue. Ah, since he said zeh v'zeh, So that's not the case of Rabbi Yonah. Rabbi Yonah is only talking about only Tarnagol or only Tarnagol Lava. Here we're talking about, he said, I want both. Ah, since you want both, says Rabbi Yehuda, to go and sell a white one on its own, don't. But if he said, takazeh vezeh, he wants both, sure. Then you can sell him a white one, and a red one, and a black one, no problem. See, if you look at the Rashi, Hochamai Skin and the Omer Zeh Vezeh, Rashi is about halfway down the Omud. Hochamai Skin and Omer Zeh Vezeh, Masnisen, to Rabbi Yehuda, Befnei Atzmoi Loi, where Rabbi Yehuda says, white on its own, no. Uletanikama Legamri Osir, in all cases, it's always Osir. Ki Goin Demei Kora Itker, when he was asking for Tana Goylem, and the seller said, what type of Tana Goylem do you want? I want a Lovan, and I want a Shachar, and I want an Odoim. Okay, so it wasn't red, white, and blue, but it was black, white, and blue. Or actually, Odom is red. So, Lovan, he wanted a white one, a Shachar is a black one, and Odom is a red one. Ah, Hilkach Lovan, Rabbi Yehuda, from the Atzma Yosur. If you're only selling him the white one, it's Osir, says Rashi. Kim de Meyikori, Itker. V'hashe Shachar Lovan. The Ozalei, he said initially, I want white, red, black, etc. But ultimately, only bought a white one. Oh, Meikar and Nami Chayv Lovan. He was mechaven to Lovan all along. He wanted a white one. V'hai the Idker Shachar. Why did he go and throw? And I also want a black one and a red one. Rabbi said that was a white lie, a white rooster lie. He didn't mean just a white rooster. He meant taka only white, and he threw in black and red. Irume Arim. He was using deception. Harama. The Yodahu, he knew the Isha Lovan Lechudei, if I'm only going to ask for a white, Lo Yizavan Le Yisrael, they're not going to sell it to me. Uben Etan Goy Lemutter, etc. So bottom line is, says our Gemara, the Mishnah can shtim with Rabbi Yonah after all, and we're not talking about that he asked only for Tarnagol. He didn't ask only for Tarnagol Lovan, he asked for Zevzeh, multiple Tarnagolim. The white and the black and the red. Please sell me a bunch of Tana Goylem. Ah, so says now Rabbi Yehuda, if he only takes now at the end a white Tana Goylem, no good. Because what he really meant all along was a white Tana Goylem. But this fellow was a shtickel Talmud scholar. He knew a little bit about Jewish law. He knew if I'm only going to ask for a white one, the Yid is never going to go and sell him that white one. So he tells him, yeah, I want a white and a black and a red and a green and a yellow. But when it comes to actually buying, now the others look a little bit scrawny. They don't look good. Nah. I'm just going to take the white one. Oh, we now know his original machshava. He meant the white one for avodah zarah. But if he ultimately takes two or three or four birds, then it's okay. Because in all likelihood, he wants to go and make a feast and serve different types of tarnagol. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, so that's the teretz. It's talking about Zeh Vozek. You're going to Omer Zeh Vozek. Talk to you more at Tanya Nami Hochi. We're about 12 lines from the bottom of the Omer Tanya Nami Hochi. Itak Arai from Abrais. Omer Reb Yehuda. Our Reb Yehuda. Hey Masai, when do we go and say that Tarnagol Lovin may not be sold to an idolater, to an Oyver Avoy Dezara? Bizman She Omer Tarnagol Zeh Lovin. Rashi says the word Zeh is Lav Dafka. It means Tarnagol Lovin. If he said Tarnagol Lovin, Tarnagol lovin' l'mi, no, don't sell it. Avlim omer zevizeh, if he said zevizeh, together, in other words, I want a few tarnagolim, a white one, a red one, a black one, then it's okay, then it's mutter. So mamish, just like we learned pshat.
If you just said tarnagol l'mi, then it would be usher.
If he said Tarnagol to me, you don't even need to come on to Tarnagol. It's only in a case where he said Tarnagol Lovan to me. Then Rabbi Yonah says, don't sell it to him. And our Gemara concludes, don't sell him even if it's mixed in with other Tarnagol, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. When does Rabbi Yehuda allow for the sale of a white rooster among other Tarnagol? When he asked for Ze Vozeh. He said, Rabbi Yisai, I am a customer. I want to buy a bunch of Tarnagol. What do you mean a bunch? I want a white one and a red one and a black one. Oh, in such situation, says Rabbi Yehuda, if ultimately Hitaka buys all three, No problem. Obviously, he wants different colors of Tarnagolim. On the other hand, if he wants to have Dafka and Tarnagolim, he asked for Zeh v'Zeh, but then he points to only the white one and not the others. And he said, no, I changed my mind. I don't need the others. These don't look so robust. They look ganshvach. They look like they're weaklings. Oh, we know that he was being a rumei kamar, and he's just trying to trick and use deception. He really wanted a white one after all. Why would a person want to have different types of tarnagolim? This Shabbos I was at a kiddush, and they had four different types of chulent. Can you imagine four different types of chulent? One was called a barley chulent, which I assume means that there were few, if any, beans. I think one was a vegetarian chulent. One was a regular chulent, and the fourth one was a Moroccan chulent. Oh, and I left out, there was another chulent, a lamb chulent. Instead of using roast beef, they used lamb. Anyway, so you can have different types of chulents, you can have different types of tarnagolim. They probably would have signs put up, this is white tarnagolim, this is red, and this is blue, and this is orange, and maybe they taste a little bit differently.
Actually, I did once hear a blue chicken. I knew someone who was in Ukraine after Chernobyl, and she said you couldn't buy chicken or ever. Suddenly, after Chernobyl, there was a lot of chicken in the market, but it was all blue. I'm not making it up. Instead of red, white, and blue, there's blue chicken.
But we had our Howard and the Hoffman said, hey, be dumb. And then we said, the Targol and me, but we don't have to be who the Vena Targol and me, and Ben Asma Low.
Correct, says Imara. The way we learned initially Pshat in the Mishnah. Again, we're trying to synthesize Rabbi Yoina with our Mishnah, because since Rabbi Yoina is an Amoira, we don't want to knock him out from our Mishnah. Clearly, wherever you're going to go and say, Tarnago Lami, Tarnago Lovin Lami, it makes absolutely no difference according to the Rabbanan, because the Rabbanan says you're not allowed to sell a white rooster, period, under any circumstances. So there's nothing to talk about. The only thing we can talk about is according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, if it's just an independent, single Tarnago Lovin, Osir, if it's a Tarnagolim, Beina Tarnagolim, then it's Mutter. So now, assuming that the person said, Tarnagolimi, Tarnagolimi, says Reb Zeira, you're allowed to sell him a Tarnagolavan. It does not have to be Bein HaTarnagolim. 1 second, Reb Yehuda says, you're never allowed to go and sell a Tarnagolavan unless it's together with other Tarnagolim. That's the case, and Reb Yehuda is arguing with Reb Yehuda. It's so far so good, Brother Shai. Now, however, if you're going to say that our Mishnah is talking about that a person asked for a Tarnagol Lavan, why does Rabbi Yehuda say that you're allowed to sell it Bein HaTarnagolim? According to Rabbi Yoina, as soon as you say Tarnagol Lavan, that's a red flag. Maybe it's a white flag that he's using for Avodah Zarah. So it makes no difference if you mix it in with two or three or five other different Tarnagolim. You're never allowed to go and sell him a Tarnagol Lavan if he asked for a Tarnagol Lavan. So L'chaira, Rabbi Yoina's halacha does not stim with Rabbi Yehuda, whether or not he said Tarnagol Lami, or whether he said Tarnagol Lavan Lami. That's why the Gemara says, it's talking about a case that he said, Zeh v'zeh, I want both white ones and red ones. It's good. Back to the Gemara.
Diet, then, if this is Tarnagol Lami, then you're not allowed to sell him. Even for Rabbi Yehuda, I was trying to see in the Gemara.
He wants one Tarnagol. He says Tarnagol Lami, he only wants one. Can you sell him a love and another? That's Jack's question.
Right. It seems like you're not allowed, but I hear otherwise.
That's exactly, you're hearing otherwise. Rabbi Yoina says that as long as he said Tarnagol Lami, Mutter Limkor Loi Tarnagol Lovin. He's only selling one white rooster. Totally permissible, because he didn't ask for a white one. He asked just for a rooster. Tarnagolami, you're allowed to sell him one. A Tarnagolovin. Freik the Gemara, that doesn't stim with Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishnah that you're never allowed to go and sell a Tarnagolovin on its own, only between other Tarnagolim. Is Rabbi Yehuda arguing with Rabbi Yehuda? Avadanisht. So you're going to go and tell me, nah, the Mishnah is not talking about he said Tarnagolami. We're talking about he said Tarnagolovanlami. What did Rabbi Yehuda say? Tarnagolovanlami, it's Osir, period. You can stand on your head, you can't sell him Tarnagolovan. But Rabbi Yehuda says you are allowed to sell Bein HaTarnagolim. Okay, we're in the middle of a Braisa, and now in the middle of this Braisa, you could put a period, because we're really starting on a new shtickler. So look, the Braisa began Tana Mihochi, Omra Buda, Emesem, Ismanchi, Omra Tarnagol, Ze Lovan, meaning Tarnagol Lovan. Then it's Osur, Avim Omar, Ze Veze Mutter. Then you're allowed to go and sell him a Tarnagol Lovan mixed in with red, white, blue, and black ones, no problem. Put a period here. New shtickler. Vafilu Omar, Tarnagol Ze Oivik Kichom, She Osa Mishta Lubnoi. Even if he said, I want a white tarnagol, and he added, the reason I want it is for Mishta Bini, or for a choyle b'toich beisoi, then it is mutter. Why? Because he's not intending it for avodah zarah, he's intending it for a Mishta. Mishta normally means a wedding. Now, Mor is going to ask in a moment, we had in a Mishnah earlier, that when you sold items to a goy who was making a wedding, you have to be careful not to sell him anything that could be used for a takrevis of avodah zarah, because the weddings of the idolaters were religious ceremonies. Presumably they went into their churches, and at the same time that they were saying, do you want to marry this and do you want to marry that, all that, they also brought avodah zarah. He brought a takroi, this is sacrifice for the void of Zara. The Gemara is going to ask that in a moment. In the meantime, this price, Rabbi Yehuda says, that if the Oivik Chum says, the reason why I want a white tarnagol is because I'm marrying off my son tomorrow and I need a white tarnagol, or if he says that the reason is because Nebuch, somebody in his house, is sick and needs a white tarnagol, then it's mutter, because the reason why he's asking for it is not because of void of Zara, but because of the Mishnah Libnoi, and or because of a refuah for his someone in his home. Frank Timar. Vatanan, we learned earlier, a couple of days ago, well, it was a Mishnah on Daf Ches, learned it last week. That Mishnah was a continuation of the Mishnah back on Daf Beis, where normally there's a din of 3 days before, Shloshi Yom Lefnei Idein, you're not allowed to go and sell things that can be used as a sacrifice to the Ovdei Kochavim, said the Mishnah. However, if it's an Ovdei Kochavim that's making a private Avodah Zorah holiday, not a public holiday that we were talking about until now, the Kalandra and the Kartisim and Starvania, all those that we had before, Yom Genusa Shomelech, we're talking about a private individual who's marrying off his son. And he wants to go and I would like to go and sell him chickens and lamb and other things that he can go and use at that Mishnah. Oh, the problem is, since those Mishnahs had a religious connotation to it, that they would go and use the fowl and the animals for avodah zarah, it's aser. However, aser oisa yoim, only that day, no 3 day business, the oisa ishbulvad, and only to that individual. You'll have to go and sell these animals to everybody else, because it's not a national religious holiday of significance. It's only a private individual that's making a private yontif and going into the church to give a sacrifice on the occasion of Mishnah B'nai. Abba Lamaisa, what do I see? But Oisa Yoim, but Oisa Ish Mia Aser. But there is a major problem if it's Oisa Ish meaning that individual who's making this, so you're not allowed to sell it to him. So how did Rabbi Yehuda say in the Braisa that if an Oivik Chavim is Oisa Mishta Lebnoi, you're allowed to sell him a tarnagol? You're not allowed to sell him a tarnagol, because he can use it for Avodah Zarah on the day of that Mishta, of that wedding. Om Yisbara Misharisha B'Tavzig Tanan. Or Tanan goes right to B'Tavzig. What means B'Tavzig? Says Rashi, Tavzig means, usually when we say the word Mishta throughout Mishnayis and throughout Shas, Mishta typically means a wedding feast, a wedding party. Here it's only a sudas mireyim, says Rashi. A Mishta of good friends getting together, the college year has ended, and they're coming back from all the various universities throughout the country, and all the chevra getting together, let's go and make a Mishta and celebrate, we graduated, whatever, some sort of private Mishta Shomereus. Rashi says, that type of Mishta Shomereus, such a friendship feast and party, no Avodah Zarah was involved, and that's what Rabbi Yehuda is referring to in the Braisa. The Mishnah, when it says that you're not allowed to go and sell him anything that he can use for Takroivis, the Mishnah Benoi is referring to a wedding. A wedding is going to be celebrated in the church. They're going to go and bring sacrifices to the Avodah Zarah. Osir, osir, osir. However, if you're talking about a situation where he's just making a private Sudas Mareim for his son and for the other boys, they all just came back from camp, they all just came back from college, whatever it happens to be, that's okay, because that didn't have a religious connotation to it. They did not sacrifice Avodah Zarah, and therefore it's mut. Okay, new shtickle. You could put two dots over here. So now, we go back to the Mishnah. Towards the end of the Mishnah, it says, Yishar kol advarim, stamen mutter, uprirushan osir. Other things. We identified until now the Yitzchabulin, and we talked about the Tana Golovan. Now the question is, other things. What are those other things? We'll see momentarily. Stamen, if it's just stam, the person didn't specify anything, he just said stam, mutter, you're allowed to sell it. Pirushan, if he was mafarish, he said something explicit, osur. Freytimara, explain to me, my staman or my pirushan? What is the pirush of the word stam and pirushan? Loshan noifala loshan. What's the pirush of pirushan? Ilay mistamadika omar chiti. He goes into the supermarket and he says, I want to go and buy chiti chivrisa. Chiti chivrisa means I'd like to have white seminal wheat. Why do I need it? None of your business. I want it. Presumably he's going to bake a cake, he's going to go and bake bread, whatever it is. I want white wheat. No problem. Stam and mut. Pirushin de kamar, lavoides kachavim. I need the wheat for avoides zara. I'm going to go and bake wafers, and I'm going to bring, have the, like a carbon mincha for the avoides zara. So that's stam is okay. Pirushin is osir. Freiti yamara. If that's the pshat in the Mishnah, we're now on the top of the Amid base. The Mishnah doesn't have to tell us either halacha. Both of them are davar pashit. The only problem of specifying something in particular is by the Tana Golovan. We said if you say I want a Tana Golovan, oh, that's a giveaway that it's doing for avodah zarah. But if it's anything else, I want white wheat. Do I know what he wants the white wheat for? He can use it for a million purposes. The fact that the Mishnah doesn't enumerate that as part of my initial list with the Itzchabulin and the Benoi Shuach and the Levoy Nezaka or Zacha, as well as finally the Tarni Golovan, sounds like it's not a problem. You're allowed to go and sell white wheat. You don't have to ask any questions. Of course he can go and sell it. For like Perushan, if he says, oh, by the way, you know what I'm going to do with this white wheat? I'm going to make a wonderful, beautiful cake, a torta, and I'm going to give it to the Avodah Zarah, I'm going to give it to the idol, and see how much the idol likes it, if the idol is going to make a brucha on it, if the idol is going to make a brucha achroina, I'm bringing it for the idol. Of course, like Mizvanina, if he says directly he's doing Avodah Zarah, it's the chesir of lefnei iver. So that cannot be the pshat. El estoman de ka'amar chiti. Stoman means that he said, I want wheat, period. Pirushan de ka'amar chivrisa. When it comes to the pirush, he says, I want white wheat. He did not mention the word avodah zarah at all. Stoman mutter, because he said, I want wheat. Pirushan is osir, because I want white meat. White wheat, that is, I'm sorry. Mechlal, de tarnigol afilistaman namiloi. Based on this, it sounds like, remember, since we started off with the list of the four at the outset of the Mishnah, and then the Mishnah says towards the end, however, shar dvarim, other things, it depends whether it's stamman or pirushan, is achmash malchal, the tarnigal afil is stamman, namiloi, it's mashman the tarnigal, even if it's stam, meaning stam, I didn't say tarnigal to me, I just said tarnigal, is also asr. It's only by shar dvarim where stamon is mutter. Is masha tarnigal, even just stam tarnigal, not tarnigal oven, is asr. Is the chvayt tishver on Rabbi Yoina that Rabbi Yoina said early in the Amud Aleph, as long as you say tarnigal ami, it's okay. It's only the tarnigal oven which is problematic. I see from our Mishnah, the only time white adds anything is if you're talking about shar dvarim, oh, white wheat, ooh, no, that you can't. Bechal the tarnigol, which is more chomer, is masha for the stomach namiloi. Even if it's stam tarnigol, how did Rabbi Yonah say tarnigol and me is what? Everywhere, Amri li oylam stomach amar chiti chivrisa. When he said stomach, he says I want white wheat. Pirushin dik amar lavoyis kechovim. When he said pirushin, that means I want white wheat for avodah zarah. So you said before, of course that's osur. He says I want it for avodah zarah. Says him, no, pirushin is strichalei. The chiddush is the case of the pirushin. What's the case of the pirushin? Sol kadai techemina hay gavra lav lavoyis kechovim kaboy. Although he says I'm buying the white wheat to serve my idol, he didn't really mean it. That was just a lie. So why did he say it then? Because he was hoping to get a discount on the price. Why would he get a discount? Because this was a very frum idolater, very religious. Like the Gemara says, he was elamevik hudi ovik bavodis kechavim. The word mevik is like the word dovik. He is dveikus. He's very, very close to this avodah zarah. He doesn't do a thing without asking for a bracha from the idol or from bringing a korban, a takrovis for the idol. He's very, very close to this idol. The sovar, and this person thinks to himself, ki hechidahu gavra avik bei, just like I am so close to this avodah zarah, I'm sure kuli alma nami aviku. I'm sure everybody else in town is similarly so close to the avodah zarah. So I'm going to tell him, you know why I'm buying this white wheat. I'm buying it for the idol, kiheicha delisfuli, so that they should give it to me at a discount. They should say, oh, this person is bringing this white wheat. He's buying it for the avodah zarah. You know, I love this avodah zarah, and he loves, and everybody in town loves the avodah zarah. I'll give you 25% off the regular price, but he doesn't really mean to bring it for the avodah zarah, and therefore you're allowed to go and sell it to him. Kamash malon, no. Our Mishnah says, if he says, I'm buying the white wheat for avodah zarah, you can believe him. He's not just trying to get a break on the price, he really means avodah zarah. And that's why Pirushan is Asur. With this we have concluded the somewhat lengthy discussion about Rabbi Yonah's halacha. I was thought that Shelley is going to make some sort of comment that it's ironic that a person by the name of Rabbi Yonah is talking about Tana Goylem. But anyway, we'll continue on. Shelley, did you like that one? It was not bad, right? Excellent. Good. I'm glad. It was not a foul joke, right? So let's continue on.
It's much milder than red wheat, the normal wheat.
Okay? I see.
It's also called albino wheat.
Uh-huh.
The main place you'll find it today is in Australia.
Really? Okay. Next time you go to Australia, let me know. Maybe we'll ask you to bring back some albino wheat. Frank Dimon, it's a shayla. Boy Ravashi. Tarnagol loven katua limi. Remember we said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says that if you're selling a tarnagol lavan, you have an aitzah. You can go and cut off a drop of the finger, and then he cannot use it for takroivis, he's going to have to use it for private purposes. So says Rav Ashi, what happens if the buyer, the customer, calls out, who has a tarnagol lavan where part of the etzba is cut off? Mahu limker loy tarnagol lavan shaleim. You're certainly allowed to go and sell him a tarnagol lavan katua because he cannot use that for the avodah zarah. But since he specified that I want a katua, can I go and sell him a tarnagol lavan shalem? Me omri nemidikama katua lava with his cotton kaboy. That's a giveaway. Since he said that I wanted katua, then he means, but I'm not doing it for avodah zarah because avodah zarah it's possible. I can't use it for takroidis. Or maybe he's using harama trickery. He says, I want a tarnagol lavan katua. The person won't have a katua. I mean, how often do you go and sell a tarnagol lavan with a blemish that part of the finger is cut off? So he's saying tarnagol lavan katua so that the Jew that is selling assumes, oh, he obviously does not want to use it for avodah zarah, and therefore I can sell him even a pure white tarnagol, which is totally shalem without any problems whatsoever. So maybe the whole thing is just a harama. Zokti yamaran imtim tzaloymer, if you're going to be poishit. Hai arumihut kamarim. Come on. Who asks to go and buy a tarnagel lovan katua. Obviously, he wanted to have a regular tarnagel lovan sholem, and the reason why he's saying tarnagel and katua is because he figures the seller is not going to have a katua, and he's going to sell him a sholem. So if you're going to go and paskin that he's marim, and he really wants a tarnagel lovan, what happens? Tarnagel lovan lemi, tarnagel lovan lemi. Remember that Rabbi Yonah said, if you say tarnagel lovan lemi, you're not allowed to sell him a tarnagel lovan. And v'havali shachar v'shakul, v'havali odin v'shakul, ma'olim kerloi lovan. This person asked, I want to have a white rooster. He comes, the seller says, come into my store, let me show you, I have a whole bunch of roosters. And would you like to have a black rooster? Yo, no problem, I'll take a black one. Would you like a red one? Yes, I'd take a red one as well. Now, can I also sell him a white rooster? Me, I'm reading, keeping the Yahweh Shachar, the Shokel. Or the Mishokel. Since I offered him a black one, yeah, he took it. I offered him a red one, he took it. So obviously, obviously he's not looking for Avodah Zarah, he's looking to make a big party, and he wants to have separate chulent. One chulent is going to have red chicken in it, and the other is going to have black chicken in it, and a white, sure, I have a white one as well. And therefore, he doesn't need for Avodah Zarah. He really wants a white one, after all he asked for a white one. And the fact that he took a black one and a red one because he wants to fool the seller into believing he doesn't need it for Avodah Zarah. That's why he took the other colors as well. But really, he's looking for a white one. After all, he asked Tarnagol Lovan Lemi. He really wants for Avodah Zarah. So tomorrow, Teiku Tishbi Yitarz. Okay, so tomorrow it's right. At the very end of the Mishnah, Meir Omer Av Dekel, and he said three terms over there. Av Dekel Tav, Chatzov, and Niklas. And we're going to discuss that now in the Gemara. Omli Rav Chizdal Avimi. Gemiri, we have a Kabbalah, Davoides Kechoven. Don't read Avoides Kechoven, the Beis of Maseres HaShas adds Mesechtes Avoides Kechoven. That Avram Avinu Bizmanoi, even though the Torah had not been given yet, Avram Avinu was already learning Torah. All the Ovis HaKadoshim says the Medrash learned Torah even before Matan Torah. So the Mesechtes Avodah Zarah of Avraham Avinu was Dalid Meya Pirkei Havin, was 400 chapters long, 400 prakim. Can you imagine? Vanan, and we only have Chamisha Tanan. We only have 5 prakim in Mesechtes Avodah Zarah. V'li Adina Maikamrinan. And nevertheless, we don't know what it says in our Mishnah. In other words, what is Rav Chizda saying to Avimi? He's saying, Baruch Hashem, we only have 5 prakim because we already have problems understanding the definitions of the terms in our 5 prakim. Could you imagine if we had 400 prakim like the time of Avraham Avinu? We'd be pulling our hair out 24 hours a day. We wouldn't know pshat in 400 prakim. It's bad enough that we don't know pshat in 5 prakim. Frank Timur, my kasha, what's bothering him? Ditani Rameir Oimer, Avdekel Tav, V'chatzim, and Niklas, and all also Limkalev, V'chavim. Frank Yetzt, Rav Chizda to Avimi, Dekel Tav Hudloi Mizvaninan, HaDekel Bish Mizvaninan. Dekel Tav means a fine, good Dekel tree. Dekel is usually a date tree or palm tree, like you have in Miami Beach, all those palm trees, for which you take Lulavim at the top. Anyway, you're only not allowed to sell him Dekel Tav, HaDekel Bish, which means an inferior quality Dekel palm tree, Mizvanina, that you are allowed to sell. Vatanan, we're going to learn in Miyat Hashem on Daf Yutes in another few days. Ein moichel lehem b'mechubel karka. Period. You're not allowed to go and sell to an idolater a piece of the land. Not because of Avodah Zarah purposes, says Rashi, because it says in the Pasuk, loy sechoneim, and the Gemara Darshan, loy sechoneim, loy sitin lehem chanoya b'karka. Don't give them a footstep, a footpost, any piece of land, a piece of karka to a non-Jew. Ah, so in Bazoi, so why are you talking about Dekel Tav? Even Dekel Bish is prohibited. Amalei, so Avimi explained to Rav Chizda, in our Mishnah, although it uses the term Dekel Tav, we're not talking about the tree. We're talking about the fruits of the tree. Amalei, my Dekel Tav, Peiris Dekel Tav. That's the problem. Because the peiros of the Dekel Tav of a fine palm tree, presumably very fine dates, Those were used for takroivis avodah zarah. They brought those when you brought them into the church. The sexton would go and ask you, "Let me see what you brought. Oh, these are AAA dates. That's good. Avodah zarah will be very happy. If they're inferior dates, nah. Don't even bring those here. Those that would be an offense to the avodah zarah." So that's why payers of a dekel tav are prohibited. He might use those for avodah zarah, but payers of a dekel bish, no problem. Those are not used for avodah zarah purposes. Okay, so now we know what dekel tav is. What does chatzav mean? Chatzav is kashva. Now, of course, the question is, what's mean kashva? So Rashi has two pshatim in the word kashva. First pshat says Rashi halfway down the Amid, five lines before, where it says masnisim. Kashva is min tamarim, also a type of dates. The istiyami, others say that that's chatzuva sheboi tichem Yeshua sa'oretz ve'esem noahu. We have that chatzuva back in the Bavois, particularly in Bava Basra, when we were talking about when Yeshua went and split up Eretz Yisrael into different halakim for different shvatim, and in every shevet between different families. Now, where did you find the line of demarcation? Where did you determine where one field ended and one field started? They would go and plant over there chatzav or chatzuva. The benefit of the chatzav or chatzuva was that the roots went straight down. They didn't stray to the right or to the left, so therefore you don't have to worry about roots breaking into your bar or interfering with other things that you were planting in your field. So you don't have to worry about kilayim, you don't have to worry about bar, you don't have to worry about all those wonderful things because the roots go straight down as opposed to spreading to the right or to the left. That's not important for our sugya. What is important is that above ground, the chatzuva grass was very pretty, very nice. Esav nohu. So if you saw a field that had the chatzuva grass around it, you would say, "Ooh, this is such a beautiful. I want to go and find who are the landscapers for this piece of property because it's so beautiful grass on the side. I'm sure they must have water that they use, water sprinklers that they use on a regular occasion, blah, blah, blah." So that's, therefore, we have two pshatim in kashva, or two pshatim in chatzav, if you're buying chatzav, special types of tamarim, special dates, and or you're buying this kashva. This kashva meaning we're talking about kashva, either dates, or we're talking about the special grass. Both of these were typically bought and sold for purpose of avodah zarah. Says Rameir, Osir, don't sell it to an akum. Finally, niklas. If you're selling niklas, also don't sell that to an akum. Nevus might niklas. Ki osav dimi om Reb Chama bar Yosef, kuraiti. Anybody know what kuraiti are? So omli abayler of dimi. Tana niklas v'liyadinan mahu. V'yat amris kuraiti v'liyadinan mai ahanis leyudinan. Mai ahanis lon. In Yiddish, this expression. Biz yetzach anish gewist einzach. Jetzt zwei Sachen weiß ich nicht. Until now, I just didn't know what niklas means. Now that you told me that is kuraiti, now I don't know two things. I don't know what niklas is. I don't know what kuraiti is. So what do I do with all of that? Amalei, he told him, I tell you why it's beneficial to you. Ahani lechu, dechi az lishosam. Remember, who is the one that told us that the niklas is kuraiti? This is Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi, as we know, was in Eretz Yisrael. And every once in a while, you have him in the Gemara, that ki osur of dimi, he would say in the name of Rabbi Yochanan or Rish Lakish, the following halacha from Eretz Yisrael. So he says, here in Bavel Taka, you don't know what niklas is, and you don't know what karaiti is. But hani lechu techi azas osim, if you go to Eretz Yisrael, amris lehu, if you're going to go and tell them the halacha of niklas, leyadi, they won't know what you're talking about. You'll say, I want to buy niklas, I want to sell niklas. I have no idea what you're talking about. But Amris Lul Kuraiti, if you're going to go and say, I want to buy some Kuraiti, you want to buy Kuraiti? Why didn't you say Kuraiti? It was traced that Kopmet Niklas. Say Kuraiti. And then they'll know exactly what you're talking about. Now the question, of course, is, Navus Main Detaka Kuraiti. So Rashi says, three lines, four lines before the Mishnah, Kuraiti Min Peirois. It was a particular type of fruit. Apparently it's a type of fruit that people didn't normally eat on their own, but was used for avodah zarah, and therefore that was prohibited. Rashi brings another pshat, but Rashi dismisses that other pshat. We could theoretically stop here, or we can learn the Mishnah and another few lines.
Please learn the Mishnah and another few lines.
Okay, so let's go on. Zok the Mishnah. Mokin shenohagu limkar behim edakala if they kachavim moichrim. Mokin shenohagu shaloi limkar ein moichrim. As we'll see shortly in the Gemara, this halach has nothing to do with avodah zarah. Rather, this has to deal with giloi aroyos, meaning that the idolaters by Yom Mahaim, and presumably there are people even today that engaged in bestiality. Bestiality means a person living with a behaima, and you're not allowed to live with a behaima. And if I'm going to go and sell behemois dakois to oivdei kechovim in those places where they live with the animal, so it's again a lifnei iver problem. Not lifnei iver for avodah zarah, but lifnei iver for gili aroyos. And gili aroyos, as we know, is one of the shem mitzvah b'nei noach. So, says our Mishnah, it really depends. There were places that they had pagans who were beyond the pale. They were so inferior in terms of their menschlichkeit, in terms of their character, that they actually lived with animals. And there were some places where the pagans were besser mentioned. They didn't live with animals. So Malkim Shenoagul Limkar Behemet Daklev Dekachovim, because they were not concerned, says Rashi, about potential revia that they're going to live. And Moichin, you're allowed to sell. I want to buy Behemet Daka because I either want to go and use it for supper for tonight, or I want to go and use it for, if it's for instance sheep, I want it for the wool. So Moichin. The minig was not to sell it. Why? Because we're concerned that the goyim are going to engage in revia, living with the animal. Ein moichrim. That's the first halach. Second halach. But nowhere are you allowed to go and sell behem agasa golem siyachim. We talked about this not too long ago in the Gemara. This is not talking about the iser of avodah zarah. It's not talking about Gili Aroyis, but here we're talking about Hilchos Shabbos. What means Hilchos Shabbos? A Jewish-owned animal is not allowed to work on Shabbos. Even in Haseres Adibris. Even your behemoths are not allowed to work on Shabbos. Okay. But that's only if it belongs to a Jew. If it belongs to a Goy, he's allowed to. The Goy has no din of Shvises Behemah. However, there's a chashash that if you're in the business of selling animals to Goyim, what happens if nobody wants to buy a new animal? They only want to lease a new animal. Many people today don't buy new cars. They just lease them for 2 years or 3 years. If people are going to lease the animal from the Yid, that means that the animal belongs to the Yid. And the Goy is going to use that animal on Shabbos. He doesn't have a din of Shabbos. It means a Jewish animal is going to be doing work on Shabbos. That's awesome. Says the Gemara, the Chacham were Goyzer, so that you shouldn't be over this Issa D'Araisa of your animals working on Shabbos. Not only may you not lease the animal to a Goy, by the way, it's not just leasing, it's also to lend it to the Goy. You're also not allowed to sell it to the Goy, because if you're going to allow for sales, then you're going to allow for leases and for lending. Shvur means even if it has a broken leg, and therefore temporarily it cannot do any work now, makes no difference. The Chomer Goyzer Shovur Otu Sholem. Don't sell any work animals to a Goy. Rabbi Yehuda says, you know, it's one thing to go and say, don't sell a sholeh, but even a shvura, it's almost like a gzeirah legzeirah, because the selling itself is really not awesome. It's only otu, he might come to lease or land. Shvura, he can't even use it for melacha. So, Rabbi Yehuda is matir b'shvura. Ben b'seira matir b'sus. Vos epes a sus. Sus is ultra behem agasa. Because a sus is not used for plowing in the field. It doesn't do melacha. What does a sus do? It allows you to go and ride on its back. Says Rashi, riding on a horse on Shabbos is only osim midrabanan, not min ha-toyra. What's the reason why it's osim midrabanan? He might come too.
He may grab a branch off of a tree and coat and smack the horse to get it to run.
Exactly.
So it's,
he wants to prod the horse and he doesn't have a horse prodder with him, so he might come to break off a branch, since this is only osur mishum shvus, not mina toira, so therefore you're allowed to go and sell a horse to the guy. Good. Let's go back to the first part of the Mishnah. The first part of the Mishnah was talking about the isser of revia, of living with an animal. And our Mishnah says it depends. Mokim shenoag limkar moichrin. Mokim shenoag shiloi limkar ei moichrin. Freit dimar lememra di sura leka min hagahu di ika. It only depends on a minig. Heichen noig isser nohug. Heichen noig heter nohug. Look at the minig hamokim. For a mini, I'll ask you a kasha from a Mishnah. Ain ma midim behemah b'mudagoy shaloi v'kachavim neishachashunim al revia. What happens if you decide that you're going to stay in a motel overnight, in a pundak, and you weren't able to go and buy or rent or lease any type of car, nishka Tesla and nishka Chevrolet, the only thing you were able to get hold of was a behemah. Okay, now what does everybody do with their cars and vehicles and behemoths overnight? They park them in the parking lot, or if there's a garage, in the garage. Says the Mishnah, Ein Ma'midin, do not allow your behemoth to stand and be parked in the parking lot of the pundak of Eidik Chavim, because you're going to wake up in the morning and you're going to find out that three of the hotel guests lived with your behemoth overnight. So what does it have to do with me? If this happens to be a place where revia is common, don't go and leave your behemoths there, because the behemoths, the people that look like people are going to act like behemoths, and they're going to live with the behemoth. Now note that this Mishnah doesn't mention what the minig hamokim was. It just says, period, ein ma'midin. It doesn't say, well, it depends. Look in the sign when you enter into this town. Does it say on the bottom, in a footnote, by the way, we are choshed al haravia, and therefore don't park your behemoths in the parking lot? Or does it say, no, the minig hamokim is we're not choshed for revia? We didn't say that. In our Mishnah, we made that distinction. Mokish shenhagu, mokish leinagu. How come in that Mishnah, we don't make that distinction? We just say, blanket statement, it's osur ein mami. So Gemara gives two answers. Omer Rav, mokish heitiru limkar, heitiru liyachet. Mokish osur liyachet, osur limkar. Rav says, even though that other Mishnah doesn't go into the details, it really holds the same as our Mishnah. Where you're not allowed to go and sell, you're not allowed to be mamid the behema. Where you're allowed to sell, you're allowed to be mamid the behema. So therefore, they're basically both the same, even though our Mishnah details it in greater detail. That Mishnah just says, osur liyachet, but it's talking about in the Mokgoyim, where it's osur limkar, osur liyachet. That's teretz number one. Reb Lezer Omer, Reb Lozer Omer, Blaza says, "Afemokim she also liyachid mutalimkar." Even though we said in that other Mishnah, "Osur liyachid," when we say "yachid" means lehamid ein mamidim, you're allowed to go and sell. Why is that? My timer, because Eid Kachavim chos al behemtoi shaloi te'oker. What does that mean? That if you live with an animal, then the animal will not be able to, after that, reproduce. A person living with a female animal will cause that female animal to lose its reproduction system or avorim or whatever, and will not be able to have children after that. And therefore, if a goy sees somebody else's animal, and this goy unfortunately engages in revia, he's going to run over to the animal and say, young lady, I'm interested in doing a behemish amasa with you. Don't look at me as a human being, look at me as a behaima. You're a behaima, I'm a behaima. Mutza minis minoi, let's go engage in revia. That's what the goy will do for Yanim's behaima, but not for his own behaima, because his own behaima doesn't want to take away the possibility that the behaima is going to have kids. After all, that's one main reason why people buy behaimas, to reproduce and have future behaimas. Okay, so v'chom chos al behem shalei te'okim. And this teretz of Rabbi Elazar is such a beautiful teretz, says the Gemara, Rav Hodabay, even Rav that gave initially the first teretz, that each one is exactly the same, in other words, Hamoda, Yichud, and Mechira is all the same halacha, in those Mekoimis where it's mutter, those Mekoimis where it's Osir, is Osir, Rav changes mind, and he learns Taka like Rabbi Elazar. The Yom Rav Tachlifa, Rav Shila, Bar Avimi, Mishmei, the Rav, Your standard goy is going to have rachmonis on his behemah not to go and be oikret. So therefore, even though it says ey mamidin, you're not allowed to leave it in the parking lot because the goy may decide to go and live with it. But if he's buying it, oh, he will be careful not to go and live with his own behemah because he doesn't want it to lose the possibility of being moiled. With that, we enter the kasha. But you do find in our Mishnah, not like Reb Lozer, not like Rav, you had some people that were so depraved among the pagans, among the idolaters, that even though they knew there's a good chance that if they live with their own animal, they're going to lose the possibility of being moiled, nevertheless, they lived with the animal. Because you see in our Mishnah, there's a mokim shenoagu shaloi limkar. Why was it so many shaloi limkar? If you're telling me that even the pagans would be makbid not to go and live with their animals, because the animals would lose the possibility of reproducing, they would become an akara. So why is there such a minig shaloi limkar? Because you see that even among the pagans, there were some that were so depraved that were more concerned about living with their animals and not concerned about having children, not having children, that didn't bother them. They had this tremendous taiva of living with an animal. With this, we conclude for today, and we're going to continue Me'at Hashem tomorrow. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisrael Zag.
They love to horse around.